So I'm closing out. He asked me to close out the series. You've asked for it. And the question that was most asked also was about how to make right decisions. And let me bring this whole message to a close in one sentence. I've learned to make right decisions because I've made a boatload of wrong decisions. And if somebody tells you, I don't make bad decisions, they're lying. Like I had this one guy I pastored years ago who told me him and his wife never had a fight, never had an argument in all their years of marriage. And he just don't understand how married couples can get in a disagreement and get in an argument, and was trying to tell me how spiritual he was because they've never, you know, how great their marriage was, until I got her in an office and began to talk. She called me and said, he's never home. He never talks to me. He just stays in his garage and works on his vehicles, you know, and then he'll go fishing, and then he'll go golfing. We don't go out on dates. We don't, by the time he gets home at night, I'm already in bed, and I'm like, well, there you have it. How dumb. Don't feel bad for arguing and disagreement, man. Trish and I had a knockout drag out this week, right? We are both so bullheaded, firstborn, type A, right? You're going to have that. But also, it doesn't take away the fact that you're going to never dishonor each other and honor and love each other and make good decisions and, yeah, make bad decisions. Yeah, I made a bad decision. I didn't agree with her. And she's not even here to defend herself. Don't say anything to her. I do know this. Most people are... Put 45 minutes up there. I went 35 to the... I'm just teasing. Most people have a common curiosity about the future. People want to know, what's going to happen to me? What is going to take place? Who am I going to marry if you're not married? What am I going to do? What's my career? What am I going to be when I grow up? Am I going to be successful? Am I going to fail? Both. You will succeed and you will fail. Mark it down. In any personal endeavor, any business endeavor, any spiritual endeavor, it's a part of life. But and then, you know, is my relationships going to last? We have this curiosity about what's going to take place in the future. But most people always consider themselves victims of fate. You know, it's the cross your fingers, hope to die philosophy. Maybe I'll get a good break. Maybe I'll get lucky and this will happen. Can I just tell you this? No matter what happens in the future, let me tell you what God says about your future. He has a good future for you. Yeah. And your future will be much better than your past. Our text is found in Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm laying this as a foundation. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have good plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a good future. How about that? Well, what's God thinking? I can't read God's mind. I don't know what God wants for my life. Yes, you do. He's got plans to prosper you and give you a good future and not to harm you. You know what? There's things that happen in life that we have no control over. You know, a lot of times there's things that happen that God leads and directs and influences. There's things that Satan does. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and we're left with the result of it. And sometimes other people make decisions. Other people make decisions, and it affects our lives. My wife and daughter was in a car wreck a few years ago, not because of that she had bad driving skills, but because somebody else, okay, caused the accident. Similar things like that. Then there's sometimes natural physical incidences in the world that impact us. And then here's the last one. I make decisions. I make choices. And those decisions and those choices is what I have left to deal with. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You get it? You reap what you sow. Some people have some crazy things, some bad things that happen in their life because they've sowed some bad things. And then they go look back and go, why is this happening to me? Hello. Do you realize if you gossip about somebody, somebody's going to gossip about you? You reap what you sow. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's a natural law. You plant an apple seed, guess what? You're going to get an apple tree. Okay, it's just real simple. As long as the earth remains, there'll be seed, time, and a harvest. The harvest comes by the seeds that were planted in the ground in a certain amount of time. So he said, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Don't go through life just allowing things to happen. Instead, you need to learn to make things happen. But we give up so easily. I mean, let me tell you how religious people do it. We have a dream, we have a vision for something, and we try to make it happen. All of a sudden, we hit a wall, okay? Or a door is shut, or a window is slammed. And we come up against it, and the first thing we do is go, oh, it must not be God's will. It must not be God's will. And we quit because we had an obstacle. We had a hindrance. Well, maybe the hindrance is a part of the process. There needs to be a tenacious spirit of faith rise up within the church, rise up within us as believers, that we're not going to take no for an answer on things. If a door is shut, if there's a wall, if there's a mountain, matter of fact, Jesus said, if you got a mountain in front of you, speak to it and tell it to get out of your way. No, we just give up. Well, it must not be God's will. Right? I remember when I saw a picture of my wife when we were 15 years old. She was the nanny for my aunt and uncle who traveled and preached all over this nation. And she would watch my cousins, and my cousin showed me a picture of her. Okay? So at 15, I'm like, dang. Van Morrison's Brown-Eyed Girl, man, just kept on ringing in my head. Because she's got big brown eyes, and she's a brunette, you know. And so at 18, I moved to South Bend, Indiana, and I'm like, I'm going to get to meet this girl I saw a picture of 3 years ago. And so my aunt was trying to make it happen, and she kept on saying no. She told me no. And I'm like, she don't want to come meet you. My aunt was saying, Trisha, just come and meet my nephew. You'll like him. No, I'm dating somebody. So I'm like, okay, so I met her sister first. Didn't go out with her. Don't get any ideas. And her sister and I were singing at Hope Rescue Mission one Tuesday night. We would feed the homeless every Tuesday night and preach and sing and stuff. And so Michelle and I were singing. And Michelle goes, have you met my sister yet? I'm like, no, but I've been wanting to. I've been here 2 months and I haven't met her. And she goes, well, you need to meet my sister. I said, well, where is she? She goes, I think she's at her boyfriend's house. Well, where's that at? I'm telling you the truth. This is no exaggeration. I got the address. I got the map out. Anybody remember a map? And I found out how to get to her boyfriend's house. And I knock on the door. And her boyfriend answers the phone, or answers the door. And he's like, yeah, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, it's Trisha Klein here. And he goes, yeah, who are you? I said, well, I'm Robbie Yannock. And I want to meet Trisha. And he was confused. I'm like, you darn right you're confused because I'm about to take her. I know you may think less of me after this, but we've been married 28 years, y'all. Okay? So she comes to the door and she knows who it is. She knows it's me. And I'm like, Trisha? She goes, what are you doing here? I'm like, well, your sister said you were here and we never met. You wouldn't come into the house. And my aunt wanted to try to meet me. And I just wanted to meet you. My name is Robbie Yannock. And you want to go out? She was mortified. How about that for a first date question? She goes, you have to leave now. I said, well, I'm not leaving until I get an answer. She goes, I have a boyfriend. I said, do you like him? I said, is he somebody you're going to marry? She said, no. Good. I didn't take no for an answer, y'all. I beat down that door. That brown-eyed brunette, man, I'm like, I knew she was the one. And I was going to do everything and anything that I could to meet her and then try to convince her that the greatest decision that she would ever make in her life was to go out with moi. And she did. And I kissed her. And we had 5 kids. I'm trying to help you. I didn't take no for an answer. When I knew in my heart, man, I wasn't disrespectful to the dude. I wasn't. I'd have gone anywhere to knock on anybody's door. Just happened to be her boyfriend's door. What's your excuse? Listen, you got to make some decisions in your life. Don't go through life. Your life is going to be a reflection of the decisions and the choices you made. I'm so happy that she made a decision to say yes when I asked her after 2 weeks to marry me at 18. I was dumb as a doornail. I didn't know. Who knows anything at 18? And then I was going to be the man to go, I'm going to ask your father first and ask your hand in marriage. And he said, no. And it was the greatest thing he ever said. And then he said to me, you're going to have to wait 2 years. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. So I said, yes, sir. I honored his decision. I honored his choice. And I waited 2 years. I think they were hoping that maybe within the 2 years it would kind of like, but it didn't. Okay? Listen, my life to this point today is because of certain choices and decisions I've made. And I can tell you I've made bad ones, but I can tell you I've made some good ones too. But I'm going to show you how to do this. But I want to first lay a little foundation. Number one, your future is determined by your decisions. Things that are going to happen tomorrow, things that are going to happen the next couple weeks and months and years are going to be because of decisions and choices that you will make. Deuteronomy 30:19, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. And the decisions and the choices we make about life and death and blessing and cursing not only will affect your life personally, but also those closest to you. Your future is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of a choice and choices and decisions you make. It'll impact your life. Even if it's a small decision, decisions and choices make the difference of the quality of life that you and I have. We've been given the ability to harness the power of choices and decisions, good or bad. And those decisions can be made even in adverse circumstances. Sometimes we want something easy to make a decision on, but sometimes decisions are not easy. They're difficult. They're hard. And I'm going to show you at the end of this message how to make easy decisions and how to make hard decisions also. It's the power of a decision. It was that choice that Rosa Parks made when she was told, you're black, go sit in the back of the bus. And she said, no, I'm not going to sit in the back of the bus. That decision and that choice would change the way this nation looked at blacks and whites. There would no longer be a black line and a white line, because she made a decision, and the structure of society and the world would be forever growing and changing because of her choice. So glad that she did. Jackie Robinson made a decision when he signed with the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he was warned that he was going to face ridicule and attack and name-calling. But he was to live above it, not just for himself, but for the future of sports. That there would be little boys who would be black, white, red, yellow, it wouldn't matter. Because if he could make it, and he could make a choice to endure and become one of the greatest baseball players ever, that there was hope for the next generation. You wonder if your decisions and choices matter? Oh my God, they so matter. It was a decision, a forceful decision to compel an unarmed college student to stand before a tank, an armed tank in Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China. I stood in that same place. Three, four times, the times I went to Beijing. And he stood there and held a flower for the cause of peace and for the cause of being somebody that I want to make a decision for my own life. I don't want a government ruling me and telling me I can't do this and I can't go there and I can't worship God and I can't. He made that decision, which today, you know, China is a communist country, but there is such a revival of God in that nation. And there are millions and millions of believers that serve God and worship God. And the government is actually shifting. Did you know that in China? And they're called, what they're calling them now is compassionate conservatives. Because they are finding out that Christians and Christ followers, even though it's been illegal for years in China, make the best citizens. They make the best neighbors. They help people. They help people in need. They serve their cities and their communities and their villages. Do you know China is the number one Bible publishing nation in the world? 118 million Bibles are published every year and sold because of a decision of a college student. What kind of decisions that you have to make? What are you faced with? George Jones made a decision to drink a lot. Remember George? He stopped loving her today. Come on, how many country music fans? Real country music. You know, murder was committed on Music Row. Probably one of the best concerts I went to a few years ago was Merle Haggard. How many remember the Hag? Right? Come on, somebody. And George Jones was an alcoholic. He wrecked his Lexus on a bridge in Nashville. And he finally came to terms. I got to change the way I'm living. And he made a choice because he said he wrote a song called Cold Hard Choices. And the tagline was, I'm living and I'm dying with the choices that I've made. What kind of choices are you living and dying with today that you have to make? When you get over one choice, guess what? You got tomorrow happening. You're going to have to make another decision. Some people I talk to are like, I hate making decisions. Well, get used to it. My daughter always says, she's 26 years old, and she's like, oh, this adulting thing is just driving me nuts. She'll text me. I'll say, "How?" I'll text her in the morning, how are you doing? She's a commercial real estate agent and just a food blogger. And just her and her husband are just tearing up Columbus like crazy, you know. Before, people would say, oh, you're Robbie Yannock's daughter. Now I'm being called, I say, oh, you're Sierra Yannock Ryder's dad, you know, type thing. So I'll say, hey, how's your day going? Dad, I didn't sign up to be this adult. Welcome to adulthood, baby doll. You got to make choices. You got to make decisions. Some people make bad decisions. Tom Selleck, remember Magnum P.I.? Blue Bloods? I love Blue Bloods. Tom Selleck turned down the role for the lead role as Indiana Jones. Bad decision. How about, this is true, the thief that stole two lobsters and he didn't want to get caught, so he put them down his pants. True story. Bad decision. I'd be like, what you talking about, Willis? How about the bank robber? True story. In Germany, goes into the bank, pulls out a gun, and demands to the teller, give me all your money. And she said, well, I need your ID. He put the gun down, got out his wallet, gave her his ID. Took the money and left. And left his ID. Bad decision. Or how about the girl that looked at Bill Gates and said, it's either the computer or it's me. Bad decision on her part. There's a story in Luke chapter 15 about a son, the prodigal son, who made a decision and then went to his dad and said, I want my inheritance. I want it now. And he gave it to him. And the son left, went off into the city, and spent it, the Bible says, on riotous living. Wine, women, and song, man. You know, he living it up. He's having a party, having fun. Until he got to the point where the money ran out. He was one of those, what? You mean money runs out after I spend it? And he ended up in a pig pen, homeless. And he realized, I made this decision to get into this pig pen. And he realized that I'm going to start thinking about what my life should be like instead of what my life is like. And he said, well, listen, if I made a decision to leave, maybe I can make a decision to go back. And I don't have to be considered his son. He said, I can be a servant because the servants have much better than what I'm having. So he made a decision and he said, I'm going to rise and go to my father's house. And the floodgates of terrible things can happen in one decision, but the floodgates of good things can happen with one decision. It can bring us from poverty to prosperity. It can bring us from sorrow to joy, from solitude to companionship. It could bring us to a long life. You know, a lot of times we make bad decisions and we usually end up in a place where we didn't expect to go and we never planned on going there. Dr. Lester Sumrall once said a statement. He said, you make decisions and your decisions definitely make you. How do we make, what kind of decisions that we make, Pastor Rob? Because listen, decisions, what I'm trying to tell you is the ultimate power. When we make these decisions every day, more than one. Every day we're caused. I mean, think about it. After church today, you're going to go, where we want to go eat? And the husband's going to say, honey, where you want to go eat? And she's going to say, I don't care, you pick. And you're going to say, the Chinese buffet. And she goes, you know I hate the Chinese buffet. I don't want to go Chinese buffet. And then you're, as a husband, you're going to go, okay, well, let's go to Red Lobster. I don't want Red Lobster. Why are you thinking Red Lobster for? Well, honey, you told me to pick a place. Well, how about Auburn? No, I'm not in the mood for pasta. This is my conversation with my wife. And then when you have all the kids that we have, they all got opinions. I lose every weekend. Right? I said, then why did you ask me to make the decision? Am I helping anybody? Man, I almost want to turn into the Hulk. Will somebody please make a decision where you want to eat? Right? It's the ultimate power. It makes us. Number two, we decide the kind of reputation we're going to have. You decide the kind of reputation you have. The truth of it is, Proverbs 22:1, a good name is more desirable than great riches, to be esteemed better than silver or gold. We may say, I don't care what people think, but yes, we do. Our choices decide what kind of reputation we are going to have. Ecclesiastes says, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than a day of birth. So we decide what kind of reputation we're going to have with the decisions we make. Number three, we decide the people we're going to associate with. You can't pick your family, but you can't pick your friends. Okay? And our friendships are based on choices that we make. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. God will always give us two things. He'll give us relationships and he'll give us resources. Resources always come at the connection of relationships. I always tell my kids, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's who you're connected with, okay? Everything in your life moves forward or backwards with the people you're connected with. When I was a teenager, I got in a lot of trouble. And it wasn't because I was a bad kid. but it was who I hung out with. Come on, somebody. Okay? And my parents said, listen, you can keep going in this direction. Keep on hanging with who you're hanging with, and you're going to be grounded the entire 15, I was 15, and he like, I was grounded for 3 months for a bad decision for somebody I was with. We did something. He said, hey, you want to do this? I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a bad decision. He said, yeah, it's going to be fun, though. That's how we made our decisions. We didn't make them whether they were right or wrong. We made them because, well, I'm bored, and it sounds like fun, right? Yeah, sounds like fun. We stole the church van one time. I'm confessing. I'm sorry, Kyle. I hope you still love me. Bad decision. Bad decision with my parents. Bad decision with the police. Bad decision with the pastor. We just thought the keys were there. Curtis, they were there. We're like, let's take it for a ride. Until we hit a parked car. I was 15. Come on, give me a break, y'all. It was a bad decision. Can I tell you this? Never did it again. Never did it again. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I remember I did something bad one time, and my dad was like, son, I'm so disappointed. And I was like, Dad, you don't understand. The devil made me do it. Remember Flip Wilson? Two of you, okay. Wrong relationships are thieves to your success and your blessing. Okay? So be mindful of that. Relationships are like elevators. They take us up or they bring us down. Number three, we decide who we're going to serve. I know that Christ breathed in me. I was dead in my sin and trespasses, as Paul said in Ephesians. And he breathed in me and gave me life. But when he woke me up out of a sin, I'm like, oh my God, he gave me life. I want to serve God. I want to serve God. Joshua 24:15. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're blessed with our kids. My daughter and her husband serve in our church, serve God, love God, committed believers. My 22-year-old son, who's a senior at Ohio State, I mean, college guy, man, you know what I mean? They say when most people go to college, man, they walk away from God. They try everything in the world. And my son, this morning, is serving at our church and loves God. My 17-year-old son in high school, I had a tough high school time because, man, I was trying to find my way and I was making all these bad decisions. My 17-year-old, and I'm like, do you ever make bad decisions, Grayson? He's just a good kid. And then our twins, both of them involved in our church serving God. Somebody said, Rob, how do you do it? You got five kids and they're all serving God. And I've got friends who've got some kids that they're not serving God, and that hurts my heart. And my only answer was, it's not because we're perfect, because I want to get rid of them sometime. You know what I mean? They drive you nuts sometimes. And if your kids don't drive you nuts, and you say, oh, no, not my kids. Yes, they do. When I would get in trouble, my dad was my school teacher, too. I got five paddlings my eighth grade year. How many remember when the teachers would spank you for doing something wrong? Yeah, my dad witnessed every one of them. Or when news would get across town that Robbie did this and did that, my mom and dad would do this, because most parents do this. Not my kid. Not my Rob. You know what my mom and dad said? Yeah, you're probably right. God help me. I'd come home from school, and my mom made the decision, man. I'd hear her in her bedroom weeping and crying and praying for me. God, touch my son. Let him find his way. God, help him to make right decisions. You know, and I'd hear her pray. I'm like, oh, God, you know, she'd drive me crazy. But oh, my. Until I made a decision. I saw where I was going. I'm like, I don't want to end up like that, curse. So I made a decision. I changed my relationships. When I changed my relationships, Pastor Kyle, I changed my destiny. I changed my direction. And I began to serve God. I made that decision to make God. And that's my answer to as a parent. Dad, Mom, Make a decision. As for me in this house, we're serving God. I can't get over, and let me just be pastor here for a moment. I've got parents in my church that don't bring their kids to church. And their kids are 10. Well, I want them to make their own decision about church and God. What? And then when they're doing meth at 15, you're going to wonder what went wrong? I could never imagine me telling my dad, you know what, at 10 years old, I'm not making a decision to go to church. I'm staying home watching Walt Disney World tonight. Do you realize that was not even an option? I had to leave every Thursday night at the third inning because I played Little League Baseball, and I love baseball. But every Thursday night, we had midweek Bible study. And my parents would not miss. We lived 30 minutes from the church, and my mom and dad made a decision. You can play baseball, but you're going to church on Thursday. Do you know how upset I was knowing at the third inning I had to come off the field? I couldn't bat anymore because where's Robbie going? Oh, he's got to go church. And they were criticized for that. Well, I know we live in a different day, but we need mom and dad to step up and make decisions for your kids. That as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's not an option. We're going to church. We're going to serve. We're going to love God. That's what we're going to do. My kids would not, they can't get over it. You know, that there are, that those decisions are being made. Don't make mom and dad, don't put that pressure on your teenager. Come on, son, we're going to church. Get out of bed. I'm tired. Okay, that was all free. That wasn't even in the first service, okay? Mom and dad, make a decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Okay? Here's some guidelines. Here's some decision, how to make right decisions, and I'm closing. Number one, you need to ask God. Don't make God the last resort. I've made decisions and then consulted God. And there's always, God, I shouldn't have done it like that. Okay, ask God. Why? God knows everything. He's perfect in wisdom. He knows your plan. He knows your life. He knows your future. He's not going to give you bad advice. So I want to encourage you to ask God. So have you prayed about some of these decisions? My grandmother is 87 years old. She's got brain cancer. And she was a spiritual rock in our family. And I would go to her about something, you know, and I'd say, Grandma, what do you think? And her always response, it is to this day, well, have you prayed about it? Have you asked the Lord? Well, I'm like, well, no, I'm asking you. I think that's the same thing, right? You know, because Grandma is close to God. I'm like 102 miles away, but God, man, Grandma, you're close to God. You hear from God. You're an intercessor. You pray for us. She goes, you need to pray about it. You need to ask God. I'm telling you what Grandma June says today. Have you asked God about some of these decisions you make? Because if not, you're going to make a stupid decision. And you're going to live your life in regret. Don't live your life in regret. So you ask God, am I seeking God daily about the decision that I need to make? I would pray 24 hours before you have to make a major decision in your life. Never make a major decision when you're tired, when you're weary, when you're angry. Take 24 hours, pray and ask God. Because if you lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God. Matthew 7 says, ask and you shall receive. Ask God. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Number two, look into the scriptures. Look into the Word of God. What does the Bible say? We live in a time that they said this generation don't care what the Bible says, you know? And so I know pastors, and it's not the case here, I know pastors are stop using the term in their sermons, the scripture says. Because they feel like this generation really don't care what the scripture says. Well, I don't care if people don't care what the scripture says. This is what the scripture says. No apology. Okay? Preaching the scripture. Aren't you glad you got a pastor that preaches the Word of God, uncompromised Word of God. If the Bible says it, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. So look in the Bible. What the Bible says, because the Bible will never contradict that decision. Okay, if it's in the Scripture. Okay? Number three, after you've done asking God and praying, after you've looked in the Word, go ahead and seek advice. Go ahead and look for counselors. There's safety in the multitude of counselors, the Bible says. You know, there's nothing wrong with picking up the phone. I'm 48 years old. My parents drive 2 hours to our church every Sunday. They're there today, even though I'm not there preaching. But I still call my dad. He's in his 70s. Dad, I got to make a decision. What's your thoughts on this? I may not always take that advice, right? But I'm seeking counsel. There are pastors. I'm at a crossroads in my life and ministry right now, and I was talking to your pastor on the way to South Bend, and I'm like, Kyle, you need to talk to me. I need your thoughts. I need your advice. I need your counsel. Nobody ever gets to a place in their walk with God or in their success in life that they are beyond counsel from others. Never. Here's what you look for in a counselor. Here's what you look for in an advisor. Wisdom, experience, and impartiality. Listen to the advice, Proverbs says, and accept instruction, and you'll be wise. Listen and accept it, and you will be wise. Proverbs, the other Proverbs 11:14, where there's no counsel, the people fall. Man, have you ran your decision to your wife, to your husband? How about your kids? There's some wisdom, believe it or not, in some of these children, in some of these teenagers. Okay? Do you have somebody? Have you talked to your pastor about some things? Have you talked to some of the spiritual leaders in this house about seek advice? Number four, and I'm getting ready to close. Is it right? Is it right? If you're faced with the fact that you have to lie to make this decision, is lying right or is lying wrong? Is it right for me to cheat? Is it right for me to cheat on my taxes? Is it right for me to do this? You got to ask yourself, is it right for me to commit adultery? Is it right for me to neglect my family? And you know, you're going to go, well, no, it's not right. Well, why have we made decisions? Knowing something isn't right. Number five, is it good for others or is it just good for me? Because the decisions that I have to make not only affect my life and my future, but affect my wife, affect my kids. It will even affect my friends and the people that I pastor. So is it good for me? And is it good for others? Let each of you, Philippians 2:4, look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Selfish decisions never please God. Selfish decisions never end up good. So when you're going to take a course of action, this is practical. You got to ask yourself the question, is anybody else going to be harmed because of this decision? Or is anybody going to benefit because this decision? Or is it just going to be all about me? It's not what we do once in a while that counts. It's what we do every day that matters. Consistent actions and decisions. What we do every day determines what happens to us tomorrow. The greatest decision you can make, because Jesus Christ died for you and breathed in you. Do you know salvation begins, Peter said, when the preaching of the word comes, the seed of the word is planted in our hearts and gives us life. And when you come alive, you go, I need to serve God. And I want to ask you this morning, before I pray, you have an opportunity because God has breathed life into you today. He wants to know, are you going to serve him? Are you going to make a decision to serve him? Are you going to follow him? Are you going to be a devoted follower of Jesus Christ? Because he's woke you up. He saved you. When he died on the cross, He saved you. Think about that for a second. And when I found out that he saved me, I made a decision as a 10-year-old boy. I looked at my dad on a Sunday night, January 6, 1980. I looked at my dad. The preacher got done preaching. And I said, "Dad, I want to serve God." I started crying. He started crying. We knelt down. We didn't have these nice chairs. We had a wooden pew. And he knelt down and led me to repent of my sins and invite Christ into my heart. And that night I was water baptized as a 10-year-old boy. And I made a decision. I'm going to serve God the rest of my life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I wasn't perfect. So many people get saved and they think, "I'm supposed to be perfect." You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. And guess what? You're going to sin. But Jesus died because if you sinned, he would forgive you. And you fail in life so you can succeed in life. We don't lose, we learn. And so if you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, "Rob, I'm going to make a decision right now to serve God. That's the decision I'm making right now." Those other decisions will fall into place if you get this decision right. If you're here today and you're saying, "I'm going to make a decision," I want you to, at the count of three, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, raise your hand. If you're saying, "I'm going to make a decision to serve God." Amen. Amen. Listen, your life is going to be set in a new direction because of that decision you just made. I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for bringing me to life. I make a decision to serve you all the days of my life. I repent of my sins and make you the Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. I'm headed in a new direction, and I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name." Come on, if that was you, put your hands together and celebrate that, would you?